Hey everyone, Future Gabe here. Before today's episode, I wanted to let everyone know that we have listed a link to the Middle Eastern Children's Alliance to help provide emergency funding to the families forced to leave their homes in Gaza. Our donations will go towards hospitals and other emergency relief centers. We encourage you to please donate and help those who are suffering. Please remember that this is a humanitarian crisis and we must do our part. The link will be in our episode bio and will be on our social soon. Thank you, and on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to Bottom of the Barrel, the show where we trudge through the absolute filth that is the bottom of cinema. My name is Gabe.
I'm Katie.
I'm Jake.
How we doing?
I am so good. I got off of work early. I'm chilling. I'm vibing. I'm feeling good.
Nice.
It's been a decent day. After the week I've had, I'm happy to have a good day.
Nice.
Yeah. A little update for the group, including Gabe and I. Gabe and I have found the most effective, what would you call a cutwater?
If you want to get blackout really quickly.
No. What would you call that? It's not like a hard seltzer.
It's a margarita. It's like a
pre-made
margarita, basically.
Yeah. It's like a canned margarita thing. Like Gabe said, if you want to get blackout super efficiently, that's the way to do it. It's like 12.5%.
Don't eat anything throughout the whole day.
Don't.
Oh God.
Drink four of those.
We got dinner. And I started drinking one with my dinner. I was halfway through my burger, and I already was like out of it. And then I ended up drinking three totally throughout the night, and I couldn't see by the end of the evening. Now, sidebar: we were at home. It was just Gabe and I. We were in the safety of our own home. There was no driving involved. However, yeah. They put you on your ass. So, just a little fun fact for you guys. They sell them at Target, which I think is dangerous, but yeah. Whatever. Jake, how are you doing?
I've been doing pretty good. I had, like, a nice lunch with my mom and my sister.
Ooh.
We were celebrating Mother's Day, so I bought them both food since they're both moms.
Good for you. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and there's a cat in my lap right now. So
hell yeah.
Little kitty cat.
Yeah, so this Love is kids. Like, yesterday, like, I kind of got my social battery just out, so I had to sleep all day, I had to relax all day, I couldn't do anything, I watched the movie, like, I'm waking up now, so I'm able to talk, but it was rough getting, like, trying to do anything, like, earlier in the morning.
Mm-hmm. I get it, man, some days you just need to, reset. I get
it.
I kind of wish I had a cat right now because I'm not going to lie. I love Jazzy to death, but I would kind of, this is a joke. I swear this is a joke. I would trade her in a heartbeat for a cat right now. She's a seat stealing whore.
She is.
Okay. We can literally, Gabe and I will be sitting on the couch minding our own business and I will get up and within half a second, she is up on the couch laying in my seat. Like, not just, like, standing there, like, kind of trying to see what I'll do. She'll plop down immediately and lay down in my seat.
Yeah.
It's like, you fucking bitch. That was a joke. I love her to death, but it does kind of irritate me the way she steals seats like that.
I can't believe you.
I wouldn't trade her for anything. She's so cute laying on the couch like that.
Justice for Jazzy.
Justice for Jazzy.
Gabe, how are you doing?
I am fine.
It's already in the title.
I'm all right. Last day of the quarter is next week.
Damn, already?
So, mm-hmm.
Shit.
So
I didn't realize
after that I visit Oklahoma, and then yeah.
Dude, why is this month moving so quickly? Yeah. I sound like every other person in the world, but one, I didn't realize that the end of the quarter was coming that quickly, and two, I thought your trip was still like three more weeks out.
It's the week after next.
Whoa.
Yeah. I leave on Sunday, so.
Sunday
Not
the.
Not this Sunday, but next Sunday.
The 20. Huh?
The 26th.
26th. Okay. Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. So.
Jake, I have a question for you.
Yeah, I was done.
Huh?
I was done.
Yeah, I'm glad you're done. Jake, I have a question for you.
Yeah, what's up?
Have you ever been to Silver Dollar City in Branson, Missouri?
I don't know. I think I might have. It's something like, there's a lot of stuff I just don't remember.
Sure.
So, like, I don't think so. I think I've been to, like, a few other, like, states and, like, cities and places, but I don't think I've been to Silver Dollar City yet.
It's hard for my mouth to say, too. I have to really think about saying it. But you should go. I watched, like, a video. It popped up on my For You page, and I was like, holy shit, I remember going to Silver Dollar City. And I told Gabe that whenever we take, like, a road trip back to Oklahoma together, we need to go, like, meet our whole family up there and have, like, a couple days, like, trip up there. And I think that would be really, really fun. It's like the Midwest experience.
Yeah.
I was trying to explain it to somebody, and it's like an amusement park where there's rides and shit.
It's like a Bass Pro Shop was a...
Yeah, but there's also, like, candle making and jerky and shit, you know? So not like a Ren Fair, but, like, adjacent.
I'm trying to think of, like, I know there's, like, this one, like, amusement park place I've been to that, like, is very similar, but I forget the name of it. It might have just been Silver Dollar City, and I'm just too tired to remember.
That's but, understandable. Like,
I don't know. It's, yeah, like, those are just, like, there's, like, amusement parks with, like, all the, like, honestly, kind of, like, not, like, thinking about it, kind of weird, like, stands that you could just go to and just do random stuff.
Yeah, it was odd, but it's been my hyperfixation for the past day, I guess. But I'm really excited to go in the summertime. But instead of continuing to talk about a fun thing, let's talk about this awful fucking movie. And I'm going to warn you ahead of time, I have almost nothing to say about this.
Katie stopped taking notes about halfway through.
I stopped taking notes within the first act of the movie.
Like, right at the end of the first act, she's like, all right, I'm just going to not have anything to say tomorrow.
I have more questions than anything.
Yeah, today we're taking a look at Batman and Robin, the kind of infamous Batman sequel that everyone shits on when you bring up Batman.
Rightfully so.
And it's like, it is one of the movies you think of when you think of bad movies. It's like, oh, you got Attack of the Killer Tomatoes and Batman and Robin and
Lamageddon.
The Room. And so it's kind of in that same dialogue of terrible high budget movies.
Talking about high budgets.
I have not seen this one in quite a while. So revisiting it was certainly a trip.
I forgot most of the things happened. Like, there was so much more of the movie than I remembered.
Yeah, like, I forgot Coolio was in it.
I forgot Bane was in it.
So did I! I literally, they brought Bane out. They brought the, like, skinny version of him out, and I was like, oh yeah, fuck, I forgot Bane was in this. Although, okay, so, yes, this movie's bad, subjectively bad. But in the kind of slew of uber edgy, dark Batman movies we have, it's kind of fun just to see a goofy as hell Batman story that is kind of along the lines of something that would happen in a comic book. And everything's practical for the most part, except for, like, the freeze rays. So, like, all of the makeup and costumes and set pieces are a lot of fun to look at. And which it's designed to be that way because Warner Brothers was like, hey, we can't really sell the last two Batman movies, and Batman Forever didn't really do all that well, so let's make it super kid friendly and so we can sell more toys. And
hell yeah.
Boy, do they look like toys in this movie.
Yeah, they literally look like toys.
Plastic-ass costumes.
The nips.
The nipples and the ass. Nipples. The first thing I wrote down whenever I was taking notes was nipples and ass.
My third thing is nips.
Yeah.
Weirdly enough, Arnold Schwarzenegger is top billed.
Yeah.
In this movie, his name appears first before George Clooney's.
Yeah, I think that's wild.
I feel like it's interesting.
So can we talk about how the one good thing about this movie was George Clooney? And that he, I think, personally...
I think he and Uma Thurman, like, were the best parts. Listen, I don't like what the movie does with Poison Ivy, but I do think that, like, I don't know, she's doing something.
Here's the thing. I don't know whether to dislike her or the writing, you know?
It's like, is Margot Robbie good in Suicide Squad?
Exactly.
Yes. But...
I don't know if I would go that far with Uma Thurman in this.
No, I mean, obviously, I think, like, in comparison, Margot Robbie is way better, but...
Well, sure.
It's kind of the same vein where it's like, they could be good in a different movie.
Yeah, do I think she's a bad actress? No. In this movie, was she not acting well? Yes.
Yeah, she was given, a very goofy, like, role, and I don't think exactly. She's made up the goofiness of it all, so it's not really,
exactly.
Like,
a role you can judge on. Which is why I don't know whether to blame her or the writing itself.
Oh, it's the writing.
Yeah.
Whatever. It's the writing. It's 100% the writing.
Yeah, but back to George. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, this movie has, like, it's not really meant for, like, good acting, I'm just gonna say. Like, none of the, like, even, like, George Clooney doesn't really get much to work with. It's just, like, a goofy turn-off-your-brain movie that's not here for, like,
yeah,
it's hard to, like, really judge any of the actors for it, to be honest.
It's background noise, for sure.
See, even if I put it in the category of background noise, because at least with other background noise movies, I can glance at it while I'm doing something and be like, oh, I kind of know what's going on. I can kind of follow this. I have
even
no clue.
Even when you're watching, you don't know what's going on.
I have no clue what's going on with this movie. And whenever we get to it, I have my main complaint... is that there were, like, at least 7 subplots going on in this fucking movie. And I could not follow it to save my life.
Yeah.
It did not need to be over 2 hours.
No!
No, it did not.
That's the biggest part. We got through the first act, and I'm like, that's it. That's it. The end of the movie, right? That's a full plot right there.
Yeah.
And it just kept fucking going.
Yeah. So Arnold is Mr. Freeze.
I don't like you just calling him Arnold.
Why?
It sounds weird to just say Arnold.
He's blue.
That's it.
And sparkly.
This is the skin of a killer, Bella.
I will say that the opening sequence is this, like, Mr. Freeze is trying to steal a jewel or something.
A diamond.
And he ices up the whole place. And Batman and Robin are skating around everywhere.
All I thought was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Not the very beginning. The opening is in the Batcave, and the first lines of dialogue in this film are, "I want a car. Chicks dig the car. This is why Superman works alone." Those are the first lines of dialogue in this film, and you
Hell
think
yeah.
to yourself, "Where the fuck is Chris O'Donnell now?"
One thing I will say for those lines, it set the tone for what to expect for the rest of the fucking movie.
Oh yeah, I mean, at least it does the setup job.
Yeah.
But that's all it does.
I knew exactly what to expect going into this movie with those 2 lines.
Yeah.
That's how I talk to men all the time. I tell them about needing cars to pick up chicks.
You pull up in your white Kia and are like, chicks dig the car.
God.
See, yeah, I picture Jake as being the other one of being like, this is why Superman works alone. Like, super dry.
Do it.
I picture Jake as being the other line of being super dry.
I'd probably say something about crashing the car.
Yeah, that too.
Yeah. I do.
This movie's weirdly horny.
It's very horny.
Exactly.
Which is, like,
absurdly.
Beyond the Poison Ivy, like, pheromone thing. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just horny. Like, Chris O'Donnell's trying to fuck his half-sister this whole movie. Well, I guess it's not like his half-sister, but, like, she's the nephew of Alfred, which that's stupid in and of itself. And Alfred is, like, the butler who raised Robin. Mm. Like,
So kind of family.
So kind of, because like they don't really explain this version of Robin. So if it's true to the lore, like Batman found him when he was a kid, and he and Alfred like kind of raised him.
Yeah.
So like it's his son, kind of.
You want something that I just thought of? The only character that I know like much about is Freeze. That's the only character I really know anything about based on this movie.
Yeah, only because of his wife.
Exactly, because we got the whole backstory of his wife, and we got, like, emotion and shit from
him. Which is, like, shoehorned in.
Right.
Like.
But without context of anything else in this universe, I'm just coming in having only... The only thing I know is this movie.
Yeah.
That's what I know most about, is Freeze.
Yeah. I mean, like, Mr. Freeze is one of the main ones that kind of gets his story told and retold over and over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, like, his story is, like, one of the more interesting of, like, Batman villains. And, like, for the rest of them, like, in this movie, they just kind of get, like, Poison Ivy and Bane are just kind of, like, flopped in.
Yeah, Bane especially is just, yeah, like, there as a henchman, basically.
Especially Bane, but I don't feel like either one of them had a real place in this movie.
No.
You know?
It could have just been Mr. Freeze and it would have been
so
fine.
I still don't understand why that fucking girl, Batgirl, was in this.
Yeah, Barbara. Who knows? As a plot device for the third act.
Literally all the... Yeah. It keeps going back to my point. Is there so many added things that just... To try and extend this fucking
there's
movie.
A lot of, like, there's a lot of parts that I realized where I was like, oh, they just added... Make this to like ogle women a little bit, and like,
oh yeah,
like, and that they do that a lot where there's just a bunch of scenes of like, here's a set where we're like, where there's an auction to date like for these women who are mm-hmm. like, and it's just like very shoehorned in,
mm-hmm. yeah.
But at the same time, it is also horny for men, which,
yeah, well, it's directed by Joel Schumacher, who is like a very flamboyantly gay man. He also did The Lost Boys, if that tells you anything.
I haven't seen that.
It is a homoerotic vampire film. Well, and it's amazing.
Of course you would like it.
Go watch it.
Yay.
Huh?
Of course you would like it.
Yeah. Some effect. Yeah, so Mr. Freeze drives this like tank thing throughout the whole movie.
Yeah.
that just bursts through walls all the time.
I feel half of this movie was about transportation.
It's which, like, even the Batmobile sucks.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't look cool.
Why was Robin driving one of those cars that looks like those, like, wind turbine powered boats?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Has the giant fucking fan on the back of it?
Yeah, yeah. So, Poison Ivy is, like, introduced kind of. She's doing something in a lab, and these people bring in Bane to inject him with the venom.
The Ununited Nations?
The Ununited Nations brings him in and pumps him full of venom, and he gets big and strong and whatever. And then...
Looks like a balloon boy.
Yeah, and she gets chemicals spilled on her, and then she...
Dies, but then he's brought back to life.
And then gets reborn as Poison Ivy. It's not really explained. And then all of a sudden, she has this affinity for Wayne Enterprises because they... We find out later that Wayne Enterprises, like, that had funded that lab in South America, but had thought it was decommissioned a while ago. So that's the connection, I guess, to Batman and why she wants to kill Batman.
But it really looks like that she just decided to kill him because a beaker with Wayne Enterprises was in the room.
Well, I just said, like, we find out later.
Right. I know, but upon just watching that scene, that's all I thought. I was like, why the fuck?
Yeah, which apparently she knew about it, but I don't know. Who knows?
She's just an eco-terrorist.
Which is, like, the complete opposite of her actual character.
I mean, kind of. Like, that's kind of like, that's usually her motivation is that, like, she hates how people treat plants.
Well, but, like, she wants to build a more sustainable Earth.
Yes.
Like, that's her whole character, and she just kind of doesn't go about it the right way. Which is what makes a lot of Batman villains great is that they all have
flaws.
Have flaws, but they all want something that is sympathetic. They just don't go about it in the correct way because of the government won't allow them to. So, like, it's an interesting unless you get people like, you know, Joker or Solomon Grundy, who's just, but Solomon Grundy, though, you know, that's a sad story,
dead.
But yeah, he's just a zombie, quite literally.
Yeah, like, like, this movie is, like, very, like, it feels like, there's an era of, like, Batman, like, TV show and, like, media, where it's, like, it's all meant to be goofy and all meant to be very silly. It's,
which,
like,
bring that Batman back, because I feel like we've had too much, like, dark, edgy Batman. And don't get me wrong, I love the Batman, the Pattinson one, but that's we need some like lighthearted Batman. I'm not saying goofy Batman like Adam West or this movie, but like give us some, you know, Brave and the Bold, and I think that's what James Gunn is doing, is the Brave and the Bold story, but you know, give us some more lighthearted Batman, you know?
I personally don't care about any new Batman stuff. It's too much.
Yeah. We get Mr. Freeze in his like Playboy mansion. He looks like Hugh Hefner, just walking around in this robe and this cigar.
With polar bear.
With polar bears. And he's like conducting his minions to the sound of, what is it? Mr. Christmas
Mr.
or whatever.
White Christmas.
Yeah.
That movie is.
That Clayton, like, stop motion movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They make him like, very silly. It's really funny, to be honest. Like, this is, like, and he has like a shoehorned like woman just come in to be like, "Hey, do you want to have sex?" "No, I'm missing my wife."
Yeah. "No, I don't want to have sex with you. My wife."
It's
the ADR in this movie is horrendous. Like, if you pay attention, which don't get me wrong, we watched this on HBO, and it was a 4K remastered version, and it looks incredible. Like, the picture quality is amazing.
There was one scene with like George Clooney where his face was like superimposed, and I was like, I can see every fucking pore on this man's face.
Like, it is like crystal clear, and it looked nice.
Yeah.
But I don't know, this movie, the as fun as the practical sets and costumes are, they all look ugly as fuck.
Yeah.
Like, nothing looks fun. Like, I mean, it looks like the word fun, but nothing cool.
There's a lot. It's just, like, every set is a lot. It's almost, like, incoherent, like, to, like, see anything going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is where Barbara is introduced, and she just kind of shows up at the doorstep of Wayne Manor, and
Robin's
like, Uncle Alfred. Do it.
Robin's immediately, she like love interested into her.
Yeah. And which is just like, Robin in this movie is a piece of fucking shit. He's just this whiny, like, I don't get what I want. And he, like, I'm always living in your shadow.
That's how all young adult men are. What are you talking about? That's how I am. I talk like that.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. Well,
that makes so much sense.
What?
It's like a very flamboyant gay guy's idea of a straight man.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, I guess that makes sense.
It's just
like, constantly flirting, constantly saying like dumb
chicks
shit.
Dig the car.
Yeah, now it makes sense.
Yeah, which I hate Barbara in this movie. She has absolutely no place and is not any any sort of representation of her actual character.
No personality.
No personality whatsoever. And, like, this is one of two movies that Alicia Silverstone was in, I guess. So,
so much sense. God, I think women have no personality.
Jesus Christ.
That's Jake hates women. Thing.
Well, I'm going to sign off real quick.
We get this scene of Bane in this fucking trench coat and fedora.
I love
driving
Bane.
Poison Ivy around.
Bane's costumes are fucking hilarious.
It's
I love
so them. Goddamn funny, and this trench coat is so
You
stupid.
Get the boa later, it's amazing.
Yeah, the boa. God, it's so funny. Yeah, this is where the like ball or gala or whatever is, and Batman and Robin are just on stage for some reason, and they pull out, like, Poison Ivy shows up. This is her like grand entrance, and she shows up and tries to get the men to bid on her, and Batman and Robin start bidding, and we get the bat credit card. Mm-hmm. Never leave the cave without it.
I kind of hate how they write. Well, it makes sense. Like, you telling me that the director is like a very flamboyant gay man. I can apply so many stereotypes to the way that this is written now. It's hilarious. like basically writing like. Yeah, everything makes so much more sense now with like how like they're like how. Like, Batman and Robin are written whenever it comes to Poison Ivy, especially.
Yeah, it's like they don't really have interest in her.
They're less interested in her and more of a plot device to make them angry at each other.
Yeah. We get this, like, pseudo chase scene where they, like, drive up this ramp or something. And he ends up catching Mr. Freeze, who crashed the ball and, you know, tried to steal the fucking necklace or whatever it was. So Batman somehow captures Mr. Freeze in this weird sequence where he, like, Mr. Freeze is, like, stuck in his car or whatever the fuck. And we just cut to this where Batman's, like, opening his cape and he's just on the ground, tied up. It's such a weird... The editing is horrendous. It genuinely is abysmal.
Yeah, like, this chase, the motorcycle chase, and the rocket launch, all of them... We did not need all of them.
Yeah, the rocket launch.
There's so much just ridiculous stuff that happens. That just... It's like the motorcycle chase with Barbara is... Random.
Barbara has her own like Z plot where she like she's given a motorcycle by Alfred and Bruce, and she like takes
given.
Yeah,
doesn't she steal it?
Yeah, she steals it because she comes out of her window through one of those fucking like tie a bunch of towels together and like sneak down the side of the building. She steals a motorcycle and has apparently been, like, racing in street races. Which is like, huh? And we get this kind of, like, sequence of her racing. This is where Coolio shows up and is just there.
Hell yeah. That's cameo.
Yeah. Oh, we forgot to mention, but Mr. Freeze ends up in prison because... You know, he got caught. And the way he looks without the ice where his, like, face is deteriorating or whatever, it's, like, kind of disturbing. Like, the makeup here is kind of spooky, which I was like, oh, okay, that's something. Poison Ivy comes to the prison and breaks him out. And the puns that Mr. Freeze has in this film are absolutely atrocious.
Horrendous.
Absolutely.
I love it, to be honest. It's a choice they commit to.
It's a choice.
Allow me to break the ice.
It's so campy. I'm like, this is so campy. That's the good word for this movie.
Oh, yeah. No, it is like absurd amounts of camp. It's... I want to like it more is the problem. Like, I know that this is, you know, one of the worst movies ever created, but I want to like it more than I do because I know that, like, and everyone who's worked on this apologizes for it. Like, George Clooney, like, every time he's asked about it, he's like, yeah, I always apologize for Batman and Robin. Which, like, he had a cameo in the Flash movie, so, you know, it's all in good fun, I think.
But he shouldn't apologize. We should be thanking him. We got close-up of his ass for some reason.
Of his bat ass.
I was gonna say this at the top, but I think we got off on something else. Can we discuss where George Clooney fits in the hierarchy of the actors that have played Batman?
No, he's at the bottom.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think he's like, you know, like above Val Kilmer or something.
Okay.
He isn't really given like a good running. He just.
I thought he would have made a really good Batman if it was in a different movie.
I think he would have been a good. He's a good Bruce Wayne, I think. He's just, again, not given anything.
Yeah.
Like, he's charming and smooth, and he's that kind of. He can play that.
Mm-hmm.
The Batman part of it, I don't know. I just don't think he's got the, like, grit.
Gabe and I, the true grit.
Yes.
Gabe and I had like a whole like 10-minute discussion about the way George Clooney talks. I think in all of his movies, but we noticed in this one in particular. He's always
looking through his eyebrows.
Like, his head is always tilted down. Even when he's looking at you straight on,
yeah,
it's always through his eyebrows.
He also has a very natural smile.
It's a very soft and easy,
like,
smile.
Smiling comes easy to him, it looks,
yeah,
like.
There's a certain turn he always does to his head.
Yeah.
Or like a movement or something. Yeah. I love
George Clooney.
I can't recreate it, but there's a certain like movement he does to his head.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah, but in like the list of Batman, he's at the bottom, but that's...
I guess, really. But I guess if he had been
but
given...
But also you're being compared to like good Batman.
If he had been given a decent running, do you think he could have moved up?
Maybe. Yeah, possibly. If he was in a better movie. But,
like, he could have been at least given, like at least a, like, a good average score. But, like...
Sure, yeah, yeah. I think he could have had the potential to be above Christian Bale for me.
Sure.
But it just... it's not there. But yeah, Alfred like fucking dies. I wish he did, but he doesn't. He's just on his deathbed, and yeah, they like destroy the bat signal, or Bane does. He like kind of lifts it up, and that's kind of it. God, there's just like not. There's no through line. In this movie, it's just like a set of events, mm-hmm, of different characters.
A set of plot points.
Which I guess that's what a movie is, but
yeah,
it's just, there's nothing driving it.
It's strung together so loosely that I can't follow it.
Yeah.
I think there were at least, and I'm not joking, like 4 subplots to this movie. And I don't care for a single one of them.
This movie, like, doesn't even care if you have an attention span. It expects you have none and that you don't care about the plot. Here's an action sequence. Here's a chase sequence. Here's Ogle Woman moment. It's very much like, you're not supposed to have a brain to watch this. Turn it off.
I think that was their detriment, was that it was made with the idea that people are not going to be paying attention to this.
Yeah.
Which I think is to its entire detriment. So we get a scene where, sorry, I just remembered this, when Robin is like, he's like tricking, they're trying to trap Poison Ivy, and she kisses Zimbo. He's got
he's got a lip condom on,
a peel on his lips, and she like pushes him into the water, and there's a scene where he comes up out of the water, and then the shot just reverses to him sinking back into the water. And that was the moment where I almost jumped off the couch and I was like, why the fuck did they reverse that shot? What was the purpose of that?
It was really dumb. And they, like, go back to it.
They reuse that shot! Yeah. They reuse the same shot. Oh, God. I'm getting too fired up over a movie that is not worth it.
No, it's fine. It's funny because nothing in this movie matters. It's just a bunch of... Again, I really want to like it. So, some events happen, sort of, and we get to the final boss, quote-unquote, and they are in these new suits, which somehow look more stupid than the ones before, and Batgirl shows up, and they come up to, like, wherever Freeze is hanging out or whatever, and we get the sequence of lines of, "No sign of the snowman. Maybe he melted. No, he's just hibernating."
Peak. This is my culture.
Peak cinema. It's bad. Like, it's just stupid.
Yeah, they weren't even thinking when they wrote that line. They just, like, first thing that pops in your head, why not?
Yeah, there was one guy in the back in the room that was like, "Hey, huh, this would be funny, right?"
Like, it's very Adam West Batman, and like with the puns and the goofiness and the colors. So, like, I get it, but it's just nowhere near the corniness and the level of corn in the Adam West, because that, like, felt fun. This is just, why is anything happening? And then a lot of useless shit happens. The audio is, like, blown out. Batman has a line, but it's like the audio is blown, and you can tell it's like a split second. But they finally, like, take everyone down, and Mr. Freeze and Poison Ivy are sharing a cell. And he finds out that Poison Ivy had, like, unplugged his wife earlier on in the movie. Batman tells him that they found her and that they plugged her back in. I kind of like the scene whenever they kind of capture Mr. Freeze. Mr. Freeze, like, freezes the whole almost all of Gotham, and then they, like, microwave Gotham back.
Literally microwave. I don't know how not everybody in Gotham had cancer after this.
Sure.
But Jesus Christ. Sorry. And
I kind of like the scene of this, of Batman talking to Freeze and, like, "Yeah, your wife's okay." Like, mm-hmm. It's almost something.
It's halfway heartwarming.
Yeah, it's like, it's almost to somewhere, but it doesn't, obviously it doesn't get there. Alfred's alive, unfortunately, and they all kind of reconvene and are like, "We're gonna need a bigger cave," because Batgirl's here now, and it's like,
she's not leaving.
Why isn't she leaving?
I wasn't joking when I said at the top, I have nothing to say about this movie.
Yeah, and then we get this really awkward sequence of them running towards the camera in front of the bat signal. And then the movie ends. And if this episode didn't make sense, well, then fucking it's...
Neither did the movie.
It's reflective of the film we just watched. Jake, any final thoughts?
This movie is very much just, like, I don't know, it's hard to really think about, because it's just, like, so much of it is just silly and unreasonable and hard to really, like, even, like, think of what's going on. So if you enjoy that, have fun with this movie. If you like movies that makes sense, you're not gonna like this movie.
If you like movies that are movies, you're not gonna like this movie.
If you like, you're gonna hate this.
Bless.
Thank you.
Bless up. Amen.
God bless. Katie, final thoughts?
I don't have any. I don't give a shit about this movie, man.
This movie...
It was literally, there were a couple, it was a series of like three or four plot points, and then, but nothing else like strung together or made any sense. I don't care about it, you know?
Yeah.
This might be the worst one that I've seen on this show.
Really?
I think so.
Even worse than 12, 12, 12?
We
haven't done an episode on that.
Ouija 4.
Okay, Ouija 4 actually takes the cake.
Whatever the fuck.
Yeah, Ouija 4 takes the cake. This is the tier underneath Ouija 4. 12, 12, 12, we have not done an episode on, and I think it's cursed.
Yeah.
That one shouldn't even exist.
We'll eventually get an episode out about it.
Yeah.
What is 12, 12, 12?
Don't look it up.
Don't look it up.
Don't do it. Please okay. Don't. Like, I'm not saying that to egg you on to make you look it up. Just seriously don't.
Okay.
Just wait because we might actually do an episode over it.
Yeah. This movie's not great. I want to like it because I know what it's going for, and it kind of accomplishes it, but it's just, I don't know. It's too out there for me to enjoy, and it's too much just bizarreness, and it sounds like no one really liked it either, being a part of it. So, you know, and this movie has been talked to death about how bad it is. So we're just kind of adding our two cents in a decades long discussion. So
yeah,
that's the end of our review. Do we have any bits for today?
I do. Okay. So of course we had to do George Clooney for the bacon
bit. Clooners.
Yep. Can you guys guess George Clooney's bacon number?
I'm guessing one.
One? Any reason why?
I feel like they have been in a movie together.
You think so? Yeah. Do you have any idea what it would be?
I feel like I know the movie, but...
Okay. Jake, do you have a guess?
I'm going to say one.
Okay. Any other reasoning?
No, I'm not smart. I don't remember things. I'm tired.
You're smart. You both will be correct. George Clooney has a bacon number of one. George Clooney and Kevin Bacon were in Eight together. Eight was a 2012 movie. It's a play by Dustin Lance Black about... the debate around marriage equality by chronicling the landmark trial of Perry v. Schwarzenegger.
Interesting.
Yeah. It was a play. Interesting. Yeah. I have a fun random movie game for you guys this week, and it's really pumping up my mood because it's a fun one. Okay. I have randomly rolled a horror movie. I'm going to give you guys a bad review, and if you guys want to guess based on the bad review, you can message me individually to lock in your answer, and if you would like a good review, I can give that one for you as well, but you would only get one possible point versus two from just the bad review. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Your bad review. This is titled Awful, spelled wrong, spelled AWEFUL. By Hunter underscore 14 on August 18th.
Wait, what? How is it spelled?
AWEFUL.
Oh, okay. I thought you spelled it correctly. No. I was like, wait a minute.
This was written on August 18th of 2002. Ready?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Spoilers in all caps. When I first read about this movie series on IMDb, I was wanting to see a big hit blockbuster like XXX and Austin Powers. The first one I saw of the series, the first movie I saw of the series was this movie. And I remember renting it because I wanted to be scared so bad that I couldn't sleep. Didn't happen. Instead, I got the most bizarre film I have ever seen and will probably ever see. Okay, the outline. Man and girl go to a secluded place and find an item that makes one of them go crazy and kill the other and everyone else that shows up. The acting was just brutal. I mean, horrible. The only decent acting came from the lead actor, though he didn't do a lot of talking until the other people arrived. So his part wasn't too difficult. The blood was largely exaggerated. Blood spews from someone when they get killed, which doesn't really happen in the real world. Okay, now on a good part. I laughed. But the reason I hate this movie is because I wasn't looking for a laugh. I was looking for a scare. So if you like your horror movies, stay away from this one, please.
Okay. When was this review made?
What was that?
When was this review made?
This was written on August 18th of 2002.
2002?
Oh, God. Mm-hmm.
I feel like that gives a lot away, but I'm just not...
Does it?
I feel like it does.
I
mean, like, the basic plot of it. They go to a secluded place and find something that makes the other one go crazy.
That makes one of them go crazy.
And everyone else who shows up?
Mm-hmm.
I'm blanking.
Hell yeah. I did a good job with this one. I was so excited for this.
Yeah, we might need a good review.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fuck. Yeah, no guesses by the first review. I'm so proud of myself. Okay. So, this is the good review. I had some fun with this review. Cutting out some stuff and rewording other things, okay? Sorry, there was a loud noise. The title of this review is One Word Perfect. This is the user that wrote this is Captain Jackass 33.
Yeah.
This was written on February 22nd of 2006. Ready?
Yep.
When I saw the first movie, I knew I had just witnessed the greatest horror movie ever. When I heard of this movie, I thought there's no way that this movie will be as good as the first one. I was wrong. This movie is my favorite of the trilogy. Instead of making it another horror movie, the director decided to turn the ultimate horror experience into a horror comedy, and it worked. The lead actor returns as the bumbling hero. After the murder of his love, the hero must grapple with his new life as an amputee. This is one of those...
Oh,
this
God
is
damn.
One of horror movies' most memorable moments. After the loss of his hand, the hero must face the antagonist that believes our hero killed her family. After the antagonist's friends are murdered one by one, the hero dons an unlikely prosthetic and becomes an icon. All in all, this movie is nonstop fun and is a timeless classic that surely is not to be missed.
God,
did we have some guesses?
It's gotta be Night Swim. I'm sorry. Yeah, we know what this.
The time is here.
Our listeners get sick of that. I will always love it.
So you guys both know what it is?
Yeah.
Do you want to say it on three?
Yeah.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, Evil Dead 2.
You guys are correct.
God damn it.
Yay!
I was thinking like, oh yeah, that reminds me of like the beginning scene of the first Evil Dead movie, but like it mentioned that there's a male protagonist, so I was like, oh, so it can't be the newest Evil Dead movie, but then I forgot about Evil Dead 2.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's also the reviews were in 2006, so
that
didn't come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
God, I
had a lot of fun reworking that last review.
Yeah.
Because they literally laid out the plot, and I was like, I've got to reword this in a fun way. And yeah. So I was like, oh, he's an amputee now. And he's got a new prosthetic. I loved it. I had fun working with that one. But did I buried the lead on the bad review, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
You said that like a couple goes there and then people mm-hmm. show up.
Right.
Like, a group of them shows up first. They all...
What this person wrote in the original reviews... In the original review was, quote, tough guy Ash goes to a cabin with his girlfriend Linda, and Ash finds a tape recorder. He plays it, and the translations on the tape unleash some evil spirit, which possesses his girlfriend. Ash ends up cutting her head off with a shovel. Anyway, other people come to the cabin, and they all start getting killed.
Oh, two. Yeah, yes, no, this is number it's two. Just them two. Mm-hmm. Okay, never mind. I'm thinking of the first one.
Yeah. So yeah, I cut out the shovel bit and I made the rest of it very, very vague.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like that. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Anyways, cool.
Good job, you guys. That was like one of my favorite like random movies to do for you guys. That one was fun.
Thank you guys for listening to today's episode. If you like this, go follow us on all of our socials. bottomofthebarrelpod@gmail.com if you so choose to send us an email. With two L's on the Instagram and email. Follow us on TikTok and Twitter, and we will see you guys in the next episode.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.